Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Tip of the Iceberg Podcast, brought to you as always by the Hockey Podcast Network. My name is Nick Berlansky, and as always, I am joined by Nick Horwat. Well, there goes my voice already. Wow. Horwat, so I can take a drink of water. What were your initial thoughts of the Kraken game on Monday night?
It's good to see a team in Seattle. My initial thoughts were mostly that I was hanging out with old roommates at the Smiling Moose, so I was watching the game. It was on. The second we got it on the TV, they were celebrating the first goal. So my initial thoughts were, this team is just not good, aren't they?
Yeah, the Kraken, they've been up and down all season long. But coming into that game, they had won five of their last seven, including three straight at home. They were kind of riding the ship, but the big question mark for the Kraken all season long was the goaltending. And the Penguins took full advantage of that from the word go. I mean, three goals in the first 6 minutes of the game, and all of a sudden, Philip Grubauer, who was a Vezina finalist last year, he's out. Joey DeCord is in.
For Joey DeCord. Not even Chris Drieger, who's hurt, right?
He is hurt, yes.
Yeah. Not even Chris Drieger. Joey DeCord, who I forgot existed entirely, but welcome to Seattle, I guess. Like I said, it's not that good of a team right now. Sure, they're making collecting some wins, but every team collects some wins. And like I said last episode, man, Vegas screwed them over. Mm-hmm. Vegas making the finals in their first year as an expansion team screwed over the expectations for Seattle. It hurts because, you know, not that Seattle's a bad team, it's just they're not great right now. They have a good foundation of things that they can build on. But that's exactly what an expansion franchise is supposed to be, not a cup contender right out of the gate. Because if anyone remembers when the Vegas team was picked out of the expansion draft, it was laughed at. It was supposed to be bad. It was supposed to be very bad. Mm-hmm. I think the Kraken lineup was supposed to be better, but we see where that's going. They're looking like an actual expansion franchise, whereas the Golden Knights came in with the quote-unquote Golden Misfits or something like that, with the Misfits,
that's what they were
whatever.
Called.
And they were a great team off the cuff for no reason. So, Well, it's fun. It's fun that Seattle has a team. It's cool that the city is great and that they're getting a franchise back because they were promised a new basketball team and never got it. So, hey, welcome to the league, kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and you even texted me and said, starting Casey DeSmith on Monday felt like a real make it easy for the kids kind of thing. And it did not end up that way.
Go easy on the new kid.
Yeah, it did not end up that way for sure. But before we continue talking about the Penguins' victory over the Seattle Kraken on Monday evening, I want to preview what you're going to see the rest of this episode here. After we finish talking about Penguins Kraken, we are going to briefly preview the Pittsburgh Penguins taking on the Washington Capitals, which is their next game coming up on Friday evening. So we'll talk about that. And then a little bit after that, we have an interview. It's been a while. It's been probably since like episode 3 of this season. We were very busy last month and we're not able to do it. But we do have an interview coming up in the second segment of this show. We'll be joined by radio voice of the Pittsburgh Penguins, Josh Getzoff, as we talk about the Penguins, a little bit about RMU hockey, and we will discuss that Trevor Zegras goal, or I should say assist, from Tuesday evening. So we'll talk about that, and then we'll finish it off. Well, shout-outs and call-outs, because if you're a regular listener, one, thank you, and two, you know that it's a Thursday episode, and we always finish our Thursday episodes with shout-outs and call-outs.
Yeah, it's our first interview in a while. You mentioned last month was one of our more successful months, and I realized like a few hours later, wait, we didn't do an interview like the entire month. That's just me and you to the top with no features, J. Cole style.
Yeah, exactly. So honestly, thank you to everybody that tuned in last month, that has been tuning in this month, and that has downloaded the podcast, so we know where you're coming from. And that's really how we count our views and everything is by download. So make sure you download every episode that you listen to. But let's get back into the action. Penguins versus the Seattle Kraken. Obviously, those first three goals, nice goals by Jeff Carter, Sidney Crosby, and a beautiful shot, although deflected by Danton Heinen for his seventh of the season. Eberle able to come out and score on the Penguins, as he usually does, makes it 3-1, and it seemed like the Seattle Kraken were getting back into this thing. They controlled the pace of play. They controlled the puck possession the entirety of basically the second period and the end of the first period, to be completely honest. But then at the end of the second period, two late goals for the Penguins by Jake Guentzel and Jeff Carter, his second on the night, make it 5-1. And at that point, the third period, it didn't matter what happened. The Penguins were not going to end up losing this game. The Kraken lost all momentum after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're a team that still has to get used to things. It's big Jeff Carter and big Jake Guentzel just doing their thing right now. Jake Gensel's on the tear, like on an absolute tear that, boy, he's quietly sneaking up into, it's going to be weird to say, but the league goals race, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, yeah, he's, you know, not going to reach Draisaitl, who was like 5 or 6 ahead, but he's one behind McDavid. Mm-hmm. One. At least last time I checked the stats. I don't know if they played last night, but
they did. McDavid had an assist.
Hey, no goals, though.
Yeah.
Jake Guentzel keeps up this streak for the next, what do you have, like just under 60 games left? 50-some games? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking an actual competition there between Guentzel and whoever else is up there at that point, but that's a matter of sustaining for 50 games. But the Kraken just couldn't handle what Jake Guentzel has brought to them, because that's also what 13 or 12 games
for Jake Guentzel. That is now a 13 game point streak, including 12 goals in those 13 games and 7 assists. I mean, the last two games he scored 5 goals, so.
Good lord. And he was just given player of the week?
Yes. NHL player of the week, I believe.
That's exactly where he should be. This is awesome.
Mm-hmm. And we actually asked Josh Getzoff about that, so stay tuned for his opinion on what Jake Guentzel has been able to do. But in the third period, like we mentioned, not much else going on. Guentzel does make it 6-1 in that period with a beautiful shot over the blocker side of Joey Decord to make it 6-1. I mean, it was all over. You could tell the Kraken didn't have much left in them. The Penguins were kind of gliding, as the Penguins tend to do in the third period when they're up big. They kind of take their foot off the pedal a little bit. You wish they wouldn't, but that's what they do. It was a nice win, though, for Casey DeSmith, his first on the season and first on, I believe, 10 games. I did not check Hockey Reference, and I meant to. Was that a quality start? I would imagine it was a quality start for him. I mean, 28 saves on 29 shots, a win, and only one goal allowed. I would think he finally cracks the goose egg on quality starts.
I would definitely assume so, too, especially because it was a win. It was a big win, and I mean, when you pick up your first of the season, finally, it's important. And it was, 6-1 final score, correct?
Final score, 6-1, Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, it was a quality start. He made 28 of 29 saves. Just big stuff for him for finally getting into the win column, cracking a couple of goose eggs with a win and a quality start. So, yeah. Does this mean we're back on the Casey DeSmith's backup train? No.
No.
as much as we may have said, hey, he needs that one game to get back into the swing of things and maybe we'll ease off. No, we're not easing off. I've made that decision. I'm not easing off of it.
So we'll have to see if he starts this weekend, because we mentioned and we'll talk about the fact that the Penguins do play the Washington Capitals to finish this road trip, albeit the fact that they are at home now. They're practicing at Lemieux Complex because, you know, you're only playing 3 hours away. You might as well go home when you have this long of a break. But they do play the Capitals on Friday night, and then they do play the Anaheim Ducks on Saturday. So do we see DeSmith once again? Possibly.
And it would make sense. You just have to hope that he's aware of passes that'll go over the net and not just around it.
Because yeah, keep an eye out for Trevor Zegras.
Yeah, which obviously we'll discuss later. But if we do see DeSmith, I think we do have a little more confidence in him now. So it's good to see that he picked up a win. And he looked good in it. It wasn't totally horrible.
Second and third period, yeah, the first period he had me nervous, as well as a lot of people. I mean, I was live streaming that game, and Kate Berry, who always tunes into the live streams, she was like, if he could stay on his angles, I would appreciate it.
Yeah, hey, also, I totally forgot you were doing a live stream, or me, Tyler, and James would have popped in with a couple of messages, but or comments, I should say. But still, good to see that those are still going well, and you're grinding it out. We love it.
Yeah, just a couple more trends from Monday night. Penguins now haven't allowed a power play goal in 11 straight games, which is a franchise record. That penalty kill is tops in the NHL, over 92% now, I believe. So they just keep on grinding on that penalty kill. We actually have another interview coming up next week where we talk to Brian Metzer. He'll be on the show next week, and we talk to him a little bit about the Penguins penalty kill and why that unit has been so successful. But another trend from Monday night that has been going pretty strong and kind of quietly: Sidney Crosby, 6-game point streak after starting the season pretty slowly. In those 6 games, 3 goals and 8 assists for 11 points in the last 6 games.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's back to a point per game.
Mm-hmm. It didn't take long.
Everyone be worried. He's back to a point per game. He got it there. He got there faster than he did last year.
Mm-hmm.
Last year it took him a little bit. It took him like half the season, I think. Or something weird like that. But now 13 games, 13 points. 4-9 split, not bad. Still a -3, but we'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
Sidney Crosby's back on the wagon too. This is a team to be feared again. The whole small loss drought we went on a few weeks ago is just well in the past. This team is ready to make noise, and it's a matter of remaining consistent. It always is it not?
Yeah, that's usually the big question mark is if this team can stay consistent, and there's going to be a measuring stick game on Friday, which we'll talk about, but I do want to mention one other thing. I want to ask your opinion on it. I asked it on Monday night when I was on that stream. I said, you know, Penguins fans, do you still hold it against Hextall and Burke, which I don't think we did in the first place, for letting go of both McCann and Tanev the way they did? I mean, right now that seems like that is the move that most Penguins fans... like, that is their least favorite move of this new regime, which it's been less than a calendar year. So the fact that there's basically only one, that's the only move that people really point out and say, you know, this was stupid.
Oh, I mean, like, you imagine they've only made 4 or 5 moves, if that. Yeah. So it's also top 5 best. So let's be positive about this. I think the McCann one's hard. It is, especially whenever you look at guys like Zucker or Kapanen just not playing to their abilities. I don't know if you're really filling too many holes with McCann over those two, though.
No.
Like, McCann's a good player and all, and he's having a great year with Seattle, but that's because he's getting more opportunity there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you know, implementing McCann over a Jason Zucker would have made a difference.
Yeah.
Whereas Tanev, quite honestly, we loved him as a player here and as the locker room guy, but again, every year I said, how many times do I have to say it, I was taking it a year at a time. The fact that I don't have to worry about that stress every offseason now, I'm not saying I'll take it because you do miss him as a jolt of energy on the ice, but this team is perfectly fine without the both of them.
Mm-hmm. If you look at these moves, the only other moves made in the offseason were concurrent with them and bringing in McGinn and Heinen, and they filled the role as good as you can fill the role. I mean, you look at McCann, and people are saying, oh, he's having a career year with 10 goals. Danton Heinen has 7. Danton Heinen scored 7 goals all of last year. We're still only 25 games in. He's on pace to get the most goals he's ever scored, playing the least amount of time per game that he has ever played in only 12 minutes of ice time. So you knew this was going to come up. Honestly, we probably should have mentioned it on Monday prior to this game. But seeing McCann's comments, and we talk about that with Josh coming up here in a couple minutes, seeing McCann's comments, I figured we should probably bring it up once more time before we set it to bed.
Yeah, absolutely. He's not totally wrong. One thing we have to remember about McCann and Tanev on this team, though, is they are not Hextall or Burke picks /
acquisitions.
Yeah, they're not their guys. Mm-hmm. They're from the old regime, and anytime a new management group comes in, general management group comes in, that's the first thing they want to do is they want to build their team. Mm-hmm. Will they build their team around guys that are already there? Absolutely. That's part of it.
Yeah.
But they're going to build the team around guys like Crosby, Malkin, Letang, and everyone else it's not exactly just fodder that's ready to be shipped out, but it's there are some small pieces that maybe are big pieces to certain people that aren't going to be here. And that's just the harsh reality of the sport and the business. Mm-hmm. And as for McCann's comments on we didn't want him, I don't want to necessarily say that's totally true, but clearly it was because we traded him for him to be taken by Toronto, to be taken from Toronto and not us.
Yeah. So, I mean, and then you look at it in hindsight is 2020 with all of that stuff, but I also looked at that comment as athletes use anything they can as motivation. That's probably what he's using. And I know a lot of athletes use when I get traded, going up against their former team, that's motivation for them to have a good game, to play well throughout the season. You know, this team didn't want me, let me prove them wrong, stuff like that. So I obviously didn't take it personally. If you're the Penguins, I don't think they did. I think they went out there, played their game, and just absolutely smushed the Kraken by a total score of 6-1. So let's look forward, finish looking backwards. Let's look forward here to the Penguins finishing up the road trip against the Washington Capitals on Friday evening at Capital One Arena in D.C., the nation's capital. The Washington Capitals in their last 10 are now 7-2-1, which is just more of what they've been doing all season long. This team is one of the top teams in the NHL right now. 9-1-4 at Capital One Arena, so not easy to beat them in their own building. The Penguins obviously going in there looking to avenge that 6-1 loss from last month in the first matchup between these two. But since then, the Penguins, that was kind of the turning point for them. After that, they had a loss at home to Buffalo, where in the third period, you saw them play some of the best hockey they've played all season. And then from then on, they had the win streak. They lost a couple games, but now they're back on the winning ways with a couple straight wins to end the Northwest swing of this road trip.
It was the catalyst. Yeah, like you mentioned, it was the catalyst. It was the game that Tristan Jarry said he didn't like the way he played, whatever the quote was. Mm-hmm. That was the game that kicked him into gear. It was the game that, you know, kind of... I don't remember where Gensel started off with his scoring trend, but...
Right before that.
Yeah, so it was jolting him a little more. Mm-hmm. It was getting the guys on the same page of, hey, we just took a big, fat loss to a heated rival. Let's, you know, regroup. Maybe part of the Buffalo game was them regrouping, and then we saw that third period in that Buffalo game where they popped off. They didn't score, but they popped off, and sometimes we just get goalied. Mm-hmm. It happens. We looked phenomenal in that Montreal game, but Jake Allen stole the show. So we have to carry that momentum into Washington now. That's a big part of it. Like we mentioned, it was the catalyst the first time. Now let's hope that swing is still going.
Mm-hmm. You know, the first time these two teams matched up, it was on a Sunday evening. So it kind of didn't feel like a huge matchup, even though usually Penn's Capitals, no matter what the cause is, no matter when it is, it's a big matchup. But this feels a little bit bigger. It's a Friday night matchup. Both teams have concurrent 3-day breaks heading into it. Penguins getting a chance to go home, regroup from the road trip. These teams are both going to be not healthy, but they're both going to be fresh with the players that are on the ice. It's Friday night, ESPN Plus exclusive. They're going to have the star cast. You could finally watch the full game. They're going to have the star cast, which is a simulcast of the game where it's going to be split screen into three. And Ovechkin and Crosby are going to be highlighted the entire game. I wonder if they're going to follow him into the locker room. But the entire game, they're going to have those two on the screen plus obviously the normal game on the screen. It feels like it's a big game here because it is a big game. The Penguins, they've been playing better. This is a measuring stick for them. Can they go into Capital One Arena and prove that, you know, we're in fourth place in the division right now, but we're a team not to be reckoned with after turning it around?
Yeah, that's exactly what we need. It's an important game. It's still December. It's still clearly not November. It's December. It's a little early, but it's going to be a big, important game and one that we hope to look back on and say those were two important points.
So it's going to be a huge game. It's going to be a huge goalie matchup. Tristan Jarry, you would imagine, gets the start, especially after getting Monday night off, up against Ilya Samsonov, who, if you look at his numbers, very impressive season in his own right. I mean, you saw Vitek Vanecek go back, and you thought maybe they were going to be 1A, 1B, but Samsonov has really taken the reins there in Washington. And, of course, Crosby, who has, as we mentioned, six-game point streak, 11 points in six games versus Alex Ovechkin, who's one of the top premier scorers in the league right now. It's going to be a great matchup. TJ Oshie's coming back for the Capitals. So it's going to be another smackdown. Hopefully the Pittsburgh Penguins can come out and play a little bit better than they did the last time, because if they can win this game, this sends a message to the entire league that, hey, we are back and we don't even have Malkin back. Like, this is a game where you can say, all right, well, you looked at the road trip. They got embarrassed in Calgary. They got bodied by Connor McDavid. And then they beat two lower opponents in the Canucks and the Kraken. This is a game that says, hey, we can play with anybody in the NHL right now.
That's exactly right.
So following that, it is a back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have think there might be a little bit of letdown afterwards. You know, you're going to get up for this game against the Capitals, and then you got to come home. You play the Anaheim Ducks, who are a great team in their own right. We saw the Capitals and the Ducks face off on Monday night. That game went into a shootout before the Capitals were able to take it. So a huge game on Saturday as well that the Penguins need to make sure that they're ready for following a huge rivalry night.
Yeah, the Anaheim Ducks are a weird team. You can't take them lightly anymore, at least not this year.
Mm-hmm.
They're a shockingly good team in a division that I don't think anybody expected to be led by the Flames, Ducks, and Oilers.
Mm-hmm.
But here they are. The Ducks right now, as of this recording, are 14-8-5 for 33 points. Hey, that's a better record than the Penguins have right now.
Mm-hmm.
So for what it is worth, the Penguins are going into the Saturday night game as an underdog, just on paper. I don't know who's on that team exactly. I don't remember now.
It's a lot of young players. I mean, Ryan Getzlaf is out due to injury, so it is very much a young core there. I mean, you're talking guys like Sonny Milano, Trevor Zegras, Jamie Drysdale on the back end. There's a lot of young players on that roster, but I mean, at the same time, you even got your Adam Henriques, your Jacob Silverbirds. They have about 5 or 6 or 7 players that are up over 30. It's just a nice blend right now, and it's working for Anaheim.
It's working real well. Kevin Shattenkirk's still there and doing well. 16 points.
Offensively, he's doing well. I wouldn't say his whole game is very good, but
has it ever?
I don't know. He won a cup.
Yeah. But also,
maybe.
They're being led by Troy Terry in points. 15 goals, 11 assists. Man,
yeah.
Oh man.
This is a team that didn't score last year. Remember, Danton Heinen used to play for them, and that was the big knock on Heinen, is he couldn't score there, but nobody could.
Yeah, nobody could.
Now they're starting to score at a little bit more of a commensurate rate. So we'll have to, obviously, coming off that game on the Capitals, the Penguins cannot look past the Anaheim Ducks. The Penguins can't come into that game slow because the Ducks will take advantage. And the last thing you want to do when debuting a new third jersey,
hey-o,
is go out there and lay an egg.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Play well.
Play well.
They're a surprisingly good team this year that needs to be taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first time we're seeing them in a while, too.
Yeah. No, Penguins, this is the first matchup, obviously, of the year. They didn't face them last year. And the year prior to that, the last time we saw them was on that Western... California road trip,
yep,
where the Penguins lost all three games.
Yep. So we got to bounce back from that, too. Like, that's the last time we saw them. And at the moment,
I think we lost 3-1 or 4-1 or something like that in that game.
I don't remember that game exactly. But at that at this moment, they have the number. They're the man up.
Yeah. They won the last... game, which was 2 years ago or something, like almost two calendar years ago. But before we send it over to our interview with Josh Getzoff, Horwath, are you going to get a Pittsburgh Diagonal eventually?
I don't have the money for it. I have the old one, so.
Okay, fair enough. I'll probably get a Malkin one.
I have a blank one, but it's the old one.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be joined by the radio voice of the Pittsburgh Penguins, Josh Getzoff. Stay tuned for that, and then we'll also finish off with shout-outs and call-outs. We'll be right back. Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game. But with the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once a single point is scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still get in on all the NFL action. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets if they score. If they score, you score with promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required, one per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome back to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you as always by the Hockey Podcast Network. We are now joined by a very special guest, a first-time guest of the show. We welcome on Josh Getzoff, the radio play-by-play voice of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Josh, how's it going today?
Guys, first time, long time, right? That's what I'm supposed to say here. Good to be with both of you. Thanks for having me on.
We like the idea of even listening for a long time, so thank you for that. We appreciate that. And yeah, that is what you're supposed to say when you go on radio shows, I guess. I haven't heard it in a while, but yeah, love that saying too.
100%. So let's just dive right in here to the questions, because Josh, we have a couple very hard-hitting questions towards the end, especially. Let's start off with an easy one. I mean, Jake Guentzel has been extremely, extremely good this season, has only been held scoreless four times in this entire season, right now on a crazy point streak. What have you seen from him this year that has seemingly taken him to another level in the offensive zone?
You're right, guys. He's been on another level. I mean, I referred to it on our broadcast on Monday night in Seattle that he's been basically a cheat code with how he's been playing right now for the Penguins. I mean, the points in 13 straight games. He's up to 16 goals on the season. Obviously leads the Penguins in goals and points as they get ready for some big games later on this week. But to me, the biggest thing for him is the maturity and the growth that we've seen in him this year. And by that, I mean, you think back to what was it, probably about a month ago, maybe a little bit more. He challenged himself right in front of the media and he said, listen, I'm not producing. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing out there. And really from that point on, it was kind of the Ottawa game, even though the Penguins got blown out in that loss to the Senators. From that point on, he started putting up points per game, and he hasn't just done it in a quiet fashion. I mean, we've seen the hat trick in Vancouver. We've seen the big goal, I thought a massive goal, in Seattle on Monday night to kind of pull that game back in the Penguins' favor and take it, obviously, a step further towards two more points for the team. So I just think that he's been a consistent performer, but also a mature player in knowing that he is so important to this team's success. Took it personally that he wasn't doing it to his liking earlier in the year, and has obviously taken it up more than a couple of notches since then to where he is now. Now, I will say, guys, just quickly, he did not practice with the Penguins today, and it'll be interesting to see, because remember, he took that shot off his hand in the win over the Kraken. The crazy part is he scores two goals after that happened, but I'm sure Mike Sullivan will have an update as far as what the status is for him, but definitely something to monitor there with how good he has been and how important he has always been, but certainly has become this season to the Penguins' success.
Yeah, and of course, he's been important to the success, but beyond Guentzel, Evan Rodriguez has had an unexpected breakout this year. What has been behind his growth as a player on this team? And because he's a player that you wouldn't normally expect to be playing like this.
No, you're right, guys. And he's never gotten a chance to play like this either. And I think that's a big thing, too. You have to remember that his coach, Mike Sullivan, from the second the Penguins had the opportunity to acquire him from Buffalo, along with our old friend Connor Sherry a couple of years ago, Sullivan was all in. There's a BU connection there. They're both former Terriers, Sullivan and Rodriguez. But I think also when you look at Evan Rodriguez, he kind of fits the mold of what Mike Sullivan likes his forwards to be. He can take faceoffs, as we've seen even with Crosby as his centerman. He's taken a lot of draws, specifically in the offensive zone at the right wing circle. But he's a, you know, he's a speedy guy. He's not hesitant to shoot the puck. He has a heck of a shot when he lets it go. Probably one of the more underrated shots on the team. And I think he's one of the more trigger-happy guys on the team, too. I mean, he's setting up for the one-timer on the power play, and really, he's the only guy that seems like he's ready to do that when the Penguins are on the man advantage. So I think that it's a mix of things with him, to answer your question. I mean, one is the opportunity that he's getting. That, obviously, as I said, has not been afforded to him at any point in his career. And give him credit, he's taken complete advantage of it with what he's been able to do with Crosby and Gensel. And even, you know, when he was in between Zucker and Kapanen, he was making things happen as well. So I think that this is a guy that has proven his worth. And remember, he chose the Penguins. There's a weird, funky road for him over the last couple of years, being traded, you know, being brought back, signing as a free agent here. There was no guarantee coming into camp that he was even in the top 12 forwards. But I think what we've seen now with the injuries, even when guys come back, it's a pretty hard question as to whether or not you even take him out of the top six, because he's fit in so well, especially with Sid and Jake. And that kind of opens things up for maybe broadening things and pushing your depth out a bit further when Brian Rust and Evgeny Malkin come back into the lineup.
The Penguins wrapped up their Northwest swing of their road trip on Monday with a 6-1 win in Seattle. But to make it a little bit more personal on this episode here, what has been your favorite road trip to go on in your years traveling with the team? I mean, you've been with the Penguins since at least 2015. What is your favorite road trip to go on with them?
I would say that there are two that are at the top of my list, guys. The first one was the one we just went on. You tack Seattle onto it. It's dynamite. I mean, I never had been to Seattle before in my life, before that road trip. Got to check it out on the day we had a practice there. Was able to walk around that Pike Place Market, see them throw the fish, you know, all the touristy stuff. I saw the original Starbucks. I was not going to wait in line for 35 minutes for a cup of coffee. I'm not that obsessed, but I did see it. I checked it out, and I really liked Seattle. Obviously, the rink was phenomenal. It's one of the best in the league, as it should be, brand new this year. But I would say the Western Canadian trip, I just love those buildings in Calgary. I love Vancouver. It's an awesome city. Beyond that, a lot of times we'll do a combination of Colorado, Vegas, and Arizona. I really like Denver. That's one of my favorite cities to go to. I love the mountains in the background. I love the sunshine there. Obviously, you get to see Nathan MacKinnon and guys of that nature, Cale Makar, when you go out there and play that team who we don't see all the time. So that one, you know, is high on my list. And I know the easy thing is to say Florida. I'm not as big on Florida as I am with some of the other Sun Belt. And I, you know, you kind of stretch the term Sun Belt when you name some of the teams I'm about to. But I love going down to Raleigh, the Hurricanes. It's always a great town, great atmosphere. Penguins fans turn out so well there. And I'm a huge country music guy. I've loved it for a long time, so you know where I'm going. But Nashville is right at the top of my list, too. I don't love the building as much. I don't think Bridgestone Arena is that great of a building, especially where we call the games from. But the city, just hearing the live music, everything that's there, it's kind of right up my alley for what I like to do when I'm not at the rink. So I love that place. And that those would be some of the places I really look forward to going to.
I like that. Those are different answers. I'm used to hearing a lot of people say like Montreal or Toronto.
Oh, yeah. No, those are up there, too. I feel like, you know, I love Montreal's building and I love Montreal as a city. I'd probably put that up there as well. Toronto, I'm still kind of okay with. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. It's great being up there. Hockey Night in Canada games that we've had the chance to do up there are an awesome atmosphere. And there's nothing quite like Toronto on a Saturday night. Ditto for Montreal. But I still put those other places, at least personally for me, a little bit higher.
It's not bad. So like you mentioned, we had just wrapped up our game in Seattle, our first time playing in Seattle. It's our first time playing against Brandon Tanev and Jared McCann since they left the team. What changes for a team whenever they play against former fan favorites like that? Like we think of, you know, Tanev, but then there's also Flurry or Phil Kessel for a little while. Like, what changes in the dynamic of a game for those kind of games?
Yeah, guys, I don't think there's a whole lot of a difference for the Penguins. I definitely think that they feel the energy on the other side, though, and as you should, right? Like, you're facing your former team, a team that is Jared McCann, so succinctly said before the game against the Kraken, didn't want you. He's not lying. They traded him away. The Penguins exposed Brandon Tanev. They exposed Marc-Andre Fleury. It's not that they didn't like those guys, but they felt they'd be better off without him. And, you know, if I was a player, that'd be a game that I would have circled on my calendar for the same reason. I mean, you want to prove those guys wrong. You want to shove it in their face, so to speak. I think it's interesting, too, though, that, like, the last couple of expansion teams, it shows you how much turnover has happened on Penguins rosters really over the last decade or so, because, you know, there were four guys on the Kraken roster on Monday night: McCann, Tanev, Riley Shea, and Jamie Oleksiak. You go back to 2017 when we were in Vegas for the first time and faced the Golden Knights, you had the Flower, but you also had David Perron and James Neal and Derek Englund. I mean, there are a lot of former Penguins littered around the league. Kind of speaks to just how many guys have been in and out of the organization over the last handful of seasons, too, as the team's tried to, you know, get back to that championship platform. But to answer your question, I definitely think it's more from the opponent than it is for the Penguins themselves. Like, I really believe Mike Sullivan when he says we're just going to play our game and focus on ourselves. And I think the guys in the room take that to heart and really have, you know, put that into practice more times than not for how the Penguins have approached games under Sullivan. But overall, I think, you know, you look at the game on Monday night, like, and this isn't a knock on Jared McCann, who's having a great year for Seattle, but to me, and I said this to Borky after the game, that's kind of the Jared McCann that we remember, right? Like, that was the guy that was in Pittsburgh. Like, he had his flashes, he had his moments coming up the ice where you thought something might happen a couple times a game, but otherwise you didn't really notice him that much. And Brandon Tanev was physical, and he's obviously having a career year for the Kraken, and I love that guy. I mean, he's one of my favorite players I've worked with the Penguins, so I have nothing bad to say about him. But again, like, those guys aren't necessarily going to be the game breakers in that kind of a situation. So I definitely think, you know, you look at the two of them subtracted, you look at some of the guys the Penguins have added, and Dan Heinen and Brock McGinn, that seem to fit the mold of what they're trying to do. And they seem to be, I don't want to say better off for it, because that's something that's a long play as far as seeing where the teams go and the, you know, with those respective guys on their rosters. But they're clearly, if you look at where the teams sit in the standings right now, they're in a better space.
So, Josh, I don't want to assume that you've seen it, but I would imagine you saw the Trevor Zegras assist last night, the Michigan assist. Oh, yeah. So if the Penguins were to pull off something similar to that, who would be on each end of it? Who would be dishing the pass over the net, and who would be finishing it?
I did see that, and I actually had not considered that question. So here's what I'm thinking as far as the guys that just popped in my mind when you asked me it. The guy who's flipping it, it's got to be Kasperi Kapanen, right? Like, he's the fancy guy. He likes to do some things a little bit extra, put the show on for the camera. I could see him behind the net, you know, just, you know, trying to get it up in the air and flip it over the net to try to get batted in. And as far as the guy who's knocking it into the net, to me, it's Sidney Crosby. I mean, This is the guy with the best hand eye in the league, maybe aside from Joe Pavelski. And I love watching him, you know, score these unique goals in and around the net. How many times he's banked stuff off a goaltender and in. He finds these little seams around the goal. I feel like it would just be the next notch on the belt for Sid as far as crazy goals were concerned. And I could see Cappy being the guy who flips it to him from behind the net.
Yeah, we've kind of seen Crosby do it before with that overtime goal in New Jersey a few years back, where it was right off the post and he baseball swung it in. But even more than that, because this is something that's a little more local and important to college hockey in Pittsburgh, but what was it like playing at the RMU Celebrity Faceoff, and what does it mean for the city of Pittsburgh to maybe get RMU hockey back?
Yeah, well, you guys, I'm sure just like you, I know a lot of people in Pittsburgh, like, RMU is the college team here. And when I saw the news, like everyone else, kind of learned unexpectedly and out of nowhere, it was pretty shocking that it wasn't going to be around and they were getting rid of it. I mean, you had some great programs come in here. I know with the Penguins, we hosted the Three Rivers Classic for RMU multiple times, which was always a fun tournament to see some great college hockey right in our own backyard. But even the strides that Derek Schooley's program and the women's program as well, getting to the NCAA tournament, had made, you knew, you kind of could see things going in the right direction as far as, hey, eventually there's going to be an RMU alum in an NHL uniform. Now, I know we've had Furman South referee a game, Brandon Blandina, you know, a linesman in the NHL guys that have been to the show, so to speak, that have RMU ties. But eventually there was going to be a player. Like, it was going to happen. You were starting to see these guys get on a bigger and bigger scale, get to the NCAA tournament. It's going to happen. And I was crushed when I saw that. So, you know, when I was asked by Derek Schooley to participate in that game, it was a no-brainer for me. One, I'm always happy to do stuff like that. Two, just to get the awareness out and try to raise funds for the program was awesome. And also, I mean, got to be with a lot of guys that I've come to know pretty well, being with the Penguins and, you know, around the organization and just in Pittsburgh in general, that I've come to be friends with and respect. And I mean, we had a blast. Like, that was that event. I mean, I didn't know what to expect from a turnout perspective or anything like that. It's almost 1,000 people in here that night. And that's like pretty much the capacity for the Lemieux Sports Complex for a game, and standing room only. I mean, Derek Schooley and his crew just did such a nice job of making that a first-class event. The auctions were unbelievable, some of the items in there. And I couldn't say enough good things about what they were able to do and the fact that I was included in it. It was, you know, pretty humbling and exciting for me to be a part of it as well. So, you know, I enjoyed it, and I've donated, and I encourage everyone else out there to donate their money if they're able to, or, you know, their time, their effort, whatever you can, to put the best foot forward, to not just give RMU a lifeline, but to give them a sustainable source to have hockey here for the future. I don't think we all want to see it just come back for a year or two. We want this thing here permanently for the men and the women. And hopefully we can get that done here in the not too distant future.
Well, Josh, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time. I want to give you a minute or so here at the end of this interview just to let everybody know where they can find you on social media and anything coming up as far as you're concerned, whether it be with the Scoop podcast or anything that's coming up for you that you want to throw out here so the listeners know what's coming up next.
Sure. Yeah, guys, appreciate that. So I'm on Twitter at Pens JG, PENSJG, and then Instagram at JG Puck, PUCK. I try to post frequently on there, try to bring some inside stuff from the road, especially on my Instagram. That I feel like people, you know, maybe appreciate or don't get to see normally. So definitely going to continue to do that as early as this Friday when we go to Washington and hopefully get some retribution on the Capitals for what happened in that first meeting. But, you know, those are the two main social media channels. I'm working on a few things with the Scoop podcast. You can expect an episode with Brian Boyle to come out somewhat shortly. And I know we talked about Evan Rodriguez as well, and I'm hoping to sit down with him for a podcast also in the not too distant future. He has a really interesting backstory and roots just as far as how he got into hockey that I'm hoping to be able to share on that podcast as well. So those are a couple things that we have in the hopper. Otherwise, you know, I'm actually, after I finish this conversation with you guys, I'm going to sit down with Ron Hextall for the latest GM show, which is every other week on 105.9 The X in Pittsburgh. And then the other weeks that it's not on is the Highmark Coaches Show with Mike Sullivan. So those will be continuing steady until the Olympic break, when obviously Sully has bigger fish to fry. And then we'll pick back up on the other side. So definitely looking forward to bringing all that information and content to you guys, and appreciate you guys having me on.
Yep. Thank you very much, Josh. And as always, you are welcome back whenever you decide that you want to come on, or we'll send out the lifeline at some point here to get you back on the show, somewhat probably towards that Olympic break or maybe a little after.
You send the lifeline, I will catch it, guys. I look forward to joining you again. Thanks for having me.
Hockey fights, lifestyle, and tales from a first-round draft bust? We have it all and more on the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for boutique hockey content and podcasts covering every team in the NHL.
Welcome back to the Tip of the Iceberg Podcast, brought to you as always by the Hockey Podcast Network, as well as DraftKings. Make sure you use promo code THPN at the DraftKings Sportsbook app for great odds and opportunities. I know I have a couple bets in tonight. I got a nice parlay on Tuesday where I hit both Toronto Maple Leafs and Tampa Bay Lightning on the money line. The two T's getting me some money. So definitely check out the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, promo code THPN at sign up for great odds and opportunities. Also, you can do daily fantasy. I don't, just because I'm not great at fantasy in the first place, so why would I want to lose daily at it?
Exactly.
But let's go into shout-outs and call-outs. One more thank you to Josh Getzoff for joining the show. We appreciate him giving us his time, especially, I mean, in between practice and talking to general manager Ron Hextall, he was able to fit us in. So thank you to Josh for joining the show. But let's get into shout-outs and call-outs. Horwat, who are you shouting out today?
Cool. We kind of mentioned it last episode of good old Big Ben Roethlisberger, maybe in the midst of his final year. So I do want to shout him out for, so you know me, diehard Steelers fan.
Oh, yeah. Since birth.
So that's part of the reason why I am going to shout him out, because there have been three consistents in my life as a football fan, which is, and my football fandom in my life goes in three little stanzas. It's, you know, the early life where I was super into it. You know, I loved the Steelers. I loved Ben Roethlisberger. I watched them win a couple Super Bowls, and that was awesome. I was real young. Then there was the angsty teenager years where I kind of fell out of it, didn't care for them. I did watch them lose the Super Bowl, but at that point I was kind of already out of it. Mm-hmm. And then now that I'm working with the fan and being around football a little more, I'm back into it and I'm enjoying the sport again as an adult. There have been three consistents. One of them is Renegade, the second is Mike Tomlin, and the third is Ben Roethlisberger, who used to be my favorite player as a kid. Mm-hmm. The dude has put up a Hall of Fame career, and if this really is his final year, I mean, in Pittsburgh or whatever it may be, we still don't know for sure because he's only focused on the next game. Which is great sports talk. But regardless of what any of this may be, it's that's going to be an emotional close to the season, regardless of how the team looks, of how good or bad the record is. Like, I mean, hey, they pulled out a hell of a win against Baltimore. It's always fun seeing a Harbaugh lose. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I just want to shout out Big Ben Roethlisberger for his career, regardless of what happens at the end of it. I think it's a nice little nod just because we don't know what the future holds, and a lot of former teammates, no less, have been saying that this is it for him, that he's cooked and he's done. So, like I said, regardless of how everything looks down these last few weeks, good on him, Hall of Fame career, and thank you for a hell of a childhood. Couple of Super Bowls in there.
Yeah. I think you need to thank Dick LeBeau and that defense a little bit more than you need to thank Ben for some of those Super Bowl moments. But, no, fair enough. I like how you said you were in it for the first two Super Bowls, and then you left a little bit and then came back when they went and lost the Super Bowl. That was only a two-year gap between winning 43 and losing 45. But
yeah, I think it just, you know, puberty hit right in there.
Life comes at you fast, Horwat.
Yeah.
As far as Ben Roethlisberger is concerned, listen, a couple weeks ago on this very segment, I faded the Steelers hard. I faded the Steelers very, very hard, and I said, you know what? They're not going to win more than two games the rest of the season. They've only won one since I said that. They're 1-2. They lost two very bad games the past 2 weeks, including, not the last 2 weeks, but prior to that, including getting crushed by Cincinnati. But anything that Ben Roethlisberger says about his last season, I usually take not only with a grain of salt, I look at him and I say, shut the fuck up. Because he said it five years in a row. Like, he's, you know, this might be my last season. And then at the end of the season, he's like, one last ride.
Then he signs a three-year contract, and now we really don't know what to believe. But then he adjusts it so it's over this year.
Yeah, no.
I get it.
He's been retiring for the past half decade. So whenever he says stuff like that, I just, in one ear, out the other. But what I actually noticed is in that game where they were getting absolutely throttled by the Cincinnati Bengals, which is their last game in the state of Ohio this year, at least in the regular season. You never know what's going to happen in the playoffs. It's their last game in the state of Ohio, which happens to be Ben Roethlisberger's home state. He was not taken out of the game when they were down 41-10. That tells me, that's more of, he's done after this year because he wanted to finish out the game in his home state, his final game in Cincinnati, where he has been so successful his entire career. That's why that game against the Cleveland Browns, where the Pittsburgh Steelers were able to win in Cleveland, meant so much to Ben. He was almost near tears at the end of that game. It's because he is done after this season. And if he wants to, you know, come around with the, maybe it's I'm focused on the next game. I'm focused on the next game. We all know it should be his last season. If it's not, it's just going to be another bad year for the Pittsburgh Steelers, because listen, he's able to show flashes, and we saw the signs, and we've seen it on the Pat McAfee show. Hey, he ain't as good as he once was, but he's as good once as he ever was. He is the Toby Keith now. He is the Toby Keith. So he'll be able to do flash in the pan. It was nice to see them beat the Ravens, but that's still only one win. I think they got one left in them. I even gave them, when I went on that rant a couple weeks ago, I said, they'll probably beat the Ravens once because that's what happens.
That's just what happens.
But they're not going to win. Like, they're not going to make the playoffs this year. They're not. I mean, if this whole win one for the Gipper thing gets them into the playoffs and gets them on a run, I'll be happy as a fan. But looking at this team, they're still just, they're not good enough.
It's, yeah, it's, they're not. It sucks, but it's just a weird team. I mean, also, from what I remember, they didn't have a ton of expectations going in, really. At least it didn't seem like it. We really didn't know what Najee Harris could be. We all thought Ben was cooked. We just thought, hey, the defense is going to be great, but we're not going to be able to score. Well, now all of a sudden, we still can't score that much, but the defense is what? It's a lot of question marks.
The defense,
is T.J. Watt and his merry men.
Yeah, it's basically been that. I mean, the defense can't stop the run. That's basically it. They can still rush the passer with the best of any of them, still leading the league in sacks, but the way that they got absolutely throttled by Joe Mixon and then also the week before that by DeAndre, or was it the week before? I don't know. By DeAndre Swift and the Detroit Lions, the way that they just ran it down the Steelers' throat, that was telling for me, so much so that I'm kicking my laptop charger into the desk. But my shout-out for this week goes out to Kevin Hart because of True Story, the show that he has on Netflix. It's a, I believe, 6 or 7-part Netflix limited series. One of the best things I've watched all year long, whether movie, show, whatever. It was one of the best things that I have seen all year long. I mean, Wesley Snipes. I forgot that Wesley Snipes was still a person, and let alone a really great actor. You know, him playing Carlton, the brother. It was great. And also getting to see Theo Rossi of Sons of Anarchy fame in a very, very different role. He definitely was not a biker dude in this show, but nice to see Theo Rossi jumping back into the small screen. And it was just overall a great show and a great experience. So I highly suggest, if you haven't already, check out True Story. Me and my fiance Kayla crushed it in about 2 days. That's how good it was. We couldn't stop watching it.
Yeah, Megan does want to watch it. We have to finish up Shameless first, and by finish up, I mean she has to catch up and then watch the last season.
What season is she on? I mean, I don't, there's what, 11 total seasons?
Yes.
What season is she on? Is she on season 10 at least?
Seven? Yeah, she stopped watching a while ago and actually kind of forgot where she was, so.
My goodness.
Yeah, we're
to be fair, Shameless is one of those shows where it's like, when you're watching it, it's so good. When it goes away, it takes you forever to start it because you look and you're like, yeah, but it's just Shameless. And then you watch it and remember how good it is. Plus, those last Fiona seasons were kind of rough.
I stopped liking her character a lot.
Because I feel like she stopped liking doing the show and the writers stopped liking her too, so they gave her a crappy storyline.
Yeah,
everybody knows Lip's the best character, right? Lip and Carl.
It's up for discussion.
Lip and Carl.
Can't think of, oh, unless you're like our buddy Tyler and Kev Ball is,
oh no, Kevin's great.
Kevin's great.
He is one of the best comic relief characters of the late 2010s.
It's a hell of a show that I do forget about, but then I also always remember crushing entire seasons in a day in college. So
it's addicting, which is kind of apropos for that show.
Damn,
so,
son,
it is. Let's move over to call. Sorry, go ahead and finish before.
Yeah,
we move
I was
going to
jump. Just say it. Just jump us over to callouts. Yeah. Do you want to start or shall I? Because
I'll start. You know, I'll start. And I'll let you close out the show because I feel like you're going to have a better one than me. My callout is for one person specifically, but it also kind of, I hope it ricochets and hits all the marks on Twitter and all the what am I looking for? Not marks, but all the negative people on Twitter that say that was a high stick on Tuesday night for the Sonny Milano goal that was flipped up to him by Trevor Zegras. It was not. It was close. But after seeing that, the refs are not going to be like, you know, let me get the tape measure out. Yet 2 centimeters over the bar, that's not a goal. No, I mean, at that point, that's a goal. You allowed that to happen. It is a goal. It is something that if somebody would have actually pressured Trevor Zegras behind the net, there was zero chance, but he sat back there, could have read a magazine, could have watched a season of Shameless, and still make that play. That's why the play was made, and obviously I'm talking about the Michigan assist, where he flipped it up on his own stick over the back of the net, and Sonny Milano hits it in. But my actual call-out is Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. who is the goaltender, legendary name, but a goaltender for the Buffalo Sabres. It was his season debut, saying that, well, if I was the referee, it would have been a high stick. That was his season debut.
Oh, my God.
He played in 3 games last season, which was his first NHL action. And this was his season debut this year. And that happened to him. So, not a great for opening the season for Ukko-Pekka Lekkonen. And sour grapes, sir. That's all I'm saying with his responses after the game. That's sour grapes. You allowed a bad goal. You should just take it, not say and complain about the officiating, which there's been more issues than high-sticking the puck into the net.
Quite a few. Also, the Sabres have used 5 goalies already this year.
I don't know if I'd be able to name them all. It's Lekkonen, or Ukko-Pekka Lekkonen, whatever his name is, Luokkonen, or however you say it. It's Finnish, I believe. Craig Anderson has been in there. Has Hauser played?
No.
They're
all players that have, aside from Ukko-Pekka Lekkonen, that have NHL histories.
Has Aaron Dell played?
Yes.
I'm missing 2.
You're missing 2. To be fair, one of them is also only for 1 game.
Yeah. I don't know who else would. There's one in my brain, but I can't actually put the name together. It's kind of like scrambled. So just let me know who the other two are.
It's Dustin Tokarski, who has the most games played with them, for 14.
Yeah.
And Malcolm Subban, newly acquired.
Oh, that's right. Subban just got there. No, Tokarski shut down the Penguins in that 2-1 game. I don't know why I forgot about that. But yeah.
Remember when the Sabres were off to a really hot start?
Well, yeah, but you can say the same thing about the Sabres for like 4 of the past 5 seasons. The one year they were like 11-2-1 and they still missed the playoffs.
Yeah, it's just funny seeing this year. I think they obviously weren't 8-0-3, but they're now 8-14-3, and it feels like they just lost 14 in a row.
Yeah, they went from a team that was like serviceable and actually playing decent hockey to, yeah, you're still the Sabres.
Yeah, that's ugly. But
yeah,
that was a fun goal. And also, I can remember a long time ago, Sonny Milano was, I don't know if it was, if he himself was on Vine, but he got popular through a couple of viral Vines and YouTube videos of him doing trick shots. So seeing his name popping in that did not shock me at all.
Yeah, and his part was actually the easier part. I don't know. Keeping your stick under the... It's not easy. There was no easy part of that goal other than the fact that the Sabres didn't play defense on it. Yeah, no. It's not surprising that it's Sonny Milano. Very much not surprising that it's Trevor Zegras. They asked him after the game on ESPN+, had you done that before in practice? Have you seen that before? He's like, I've never seen it done before. But I did that all the time at U.S. National Development Program. Like, oh, really? Surprising that you and, you know, Jack Hughes and all those guys were just messing around doing that at practice? Yeah, not surprising in the least.
Yeah, no, not at all. But keeping it in the hockey realm for this call out, I do want to call out whoever the hell is designing hockey jerseys these days. What a mess this has become.
Which ones specifically offend you? Because it feels like you're almost offended right now.
Oh, because it is offensive. Because there have been quite a few bad jerseys come out in recent weeks. Shout out to the Penguins for having a damn good uniform come out.
Kit. Remember, we're calling them kits now. I don't know if I told you
this. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm going to call them jerseys because that's all we're seeing from this. Also, the trigger one here is these. I almost called it the Smashville jerseys. The Nashville Predators Winter Classic. Is it the Winter Classic jersey? Or is it Stadium Series? Whatever it is. It's ugly. It's gross.
Stadium Series because the Winter Classic is Minnesota somebody.
Also, ugly jersey. That Minnesota jersey for that ad. But just I get what they're going for with the difference. Like they're trying to make it look like a music poster. It doesn't look like that. Mm-mm. It's the S's. Some of the letters are cut off.
Yeah, no, the letters are different sizes.
The letters are different sizes. Some of them look cut off. Like you couldn't even complete the letter if you're going to be doing it this way. But that's the one that triggered this whole thing. At least the Lightning have a good one. That's not bad.
It was weird.
But it's good. It looks like an inline jersey, but it's good.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't bad, especially comparatively. It was not bad. So
yes.
Can't complain too much about it.
But then let's go back a little further. The USA jersey we talked about.
Awful.
The longer I looked at the Team Canada jerseys, I stopped liking those.
Oh, come on.
I
still like those kits.
Do I have to say the turkey butthole thing?
Okay, well, you know,
we continue back. You mentioned the Minnesota uniform. Who else am I missing? Who else? Oh, out of the entire reverse retro thing, at least a lot of those were hits. There was a ton of misses, though.
There were.
So, just whoever, like, there's just been this bad trend of uniforms lately. Let's even go as far back as the Penguins Flyers Stadium Series, where they went with the black and like the all yellow logo, which was just weird.
Yeah.
What has this trend been where we're just throwing nonsense onto the... Oh, also, I didn't even mention the New Jersey jersey.
Listen.
I know you vouched for it.
Hey, stop it. That is a good jersey. They're wearing that tonight. Well, tonight is Wednesday night, so this comes out on Thursday. But they're wearing that Wednesday night. Reserve your judgment till you see it on the ice, at least.
I will, because I also didn't hate it to the fullest. But it's okay. Just...
New Jersey fans did, which I don't understand. I figured they would have liked it because, you know, it's them, literally.
It's just different, and it's not what I think they should have done, I guess. I don't know. It's just different. And also, I do like that they've just fully gone in on hat, shirt.
Yeah.
Good for them. Lean into the bit. Yes, at least good for them for committing to the bit, but let's just... tell it like it is. It's not one of the better jerseys in the league, and there's just been a trend of awful, awful, awful jerseys being put out. Thank you to Team Finland, and someone else put out a really good one in the Olympics. Sweden, because there's this basic. Here's Trey Kroner, yellow and blue. We're not changing anything. Good on them. Whereas everyone else, my God, this is bad recently.
Yeah, I mean, listen. As far as Team USA was, it was bad. It looked like an Abercrombie and Fitch commercial. But it was bad. But Team Canada's was all right. I mean, at the same time, it's like, do you want to go back to where it's just a big freaking flag on it and the main colors?
Yes.
Really? That's what you want to do? Go back to the United States. Make it classic. Go back to the 1981.
Correct.
Just update it a little bit. Don't do this stupid freaking American Eagle looking justice for kids looking jersey that you have right now. I don't want to see Jake Gensel in that.
Well, guess what? He keeps this tear up.
He's going to be on Team USA, especially because Sullivan's the coach.
Boy, you... Yeah. But, like, I don't know. It's just all bad.
Yeah, no. To be completely honest, the worst of them all was the Nashville one. The Smashville one. It's so bad. Like, I saw that, and I was like, is this a joke? Did we walk into Roman Yossi's, like, kids' kindergarten class and picked up a picture and was like, make this?
Like, were they just trying to pick a fight with New Jersey? But no, they were like, no, this is real. Just, like, the different sizes. Like, I get what you're going for, but the fact that that needs to be explained.
To be fair, though, I don't like any Nashville jerseys, really. Their road jersey's okay. Their normal road jersey is okay.
It's hard when you try and make your base color yellow.
Instead of a secondary color?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
trying to think of other teams that have yellow as the base color that they actually did it well, but I'm struggling right now.
The
Lakers.
You liked the Lakers. Penguins alternate last year.
I did like the Penguins alternate last year.
But... Or the Stadium Series where they wore yellow there. That was okay.
Well, yeah, those were basically the same jersey. The only difference was I like the Stadium Series more because they had, like, the City of Champions with the Pennsylvania patch and stuff like that. There was a little bit more detail on that.
The number was a little more metallic,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. We could probably sit here and pick through all the jerseys of the past, like, 10 years, and it would take us 80 hours. All
right, yeah. But before we close out, do you want a news update? Because Getzoff did mention it in the interview, and... Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, because you also just mentioned his name, ladies and gentlemen, Gensel's absence from practice. Jake is going to be week to week with an upper body injury.
So he had he has something wrong with his hand then.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's no bueno.
Nope.
So yeah, right before we leave too, you know, that's great. We couldn't have had that when we were previewing it. So Jake Gensel week to week, not great at all. We talked about it in the interview, and he has been... I mean, go back and listen to it. Josh Getzoff said it perfectly. He's been, like, otherworldly at this point. Kind of a cheat code.
Yeah.
And now he's going to be missing time due to injury. Yep. That sucks. So. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Tip of the Iceberg. Way to finish on a depressing note, I guess. I mean, can't do anything about that. That's the name of the game. Ups and downs. So Jake Gensel out week to week. We will still see what the Penguins look like against the Washington Capitals on Friday night without Jake Gensel, without Kenny Malkin, without Brian Rust. We'll see what the lineup looks like. But for now, we say goodbye. We say thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next week. Have a good weekend, Pens fans.
You can follow us on Twitter at NickHorwat41 and at Nick_Berlansky. You can also follow the show's Twitter handle at Iceberg Podcast. This podcast can be found anywhere you get your podcasts from, so please subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts. We are brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. You can visit them on Twitter at HockeyPodNet or at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. Every team, everywhere.